The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you guys are hanging out with us on this Monday afternoon. One of the stories that we just had, we were talking about cryptocurrency, and it just so happens that Laura Kennard, who is in studio with us in just a little bit, also from Drake University, was telling me about Tom Meyer. And Tom Meyer is a person who dabbles a bit in cryptocurrency. We're going to find out about Tom and Bitcoin and there's all kinds of things. There's three things out there that I know nothing about, but we're all going to learn together. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Tom. Nice to have you here.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's good to be here.
So how did tell us about you. What's your background? How do you know about this stuff? You've been in financial industry before, haven't you?
Yeah, I was in the investment management business for 25 years.
Yeah,
an equity portfolio analyst or portfolio manager and analyst. So that's my finance background. And then over the last 5 years, I've been an entrepreneur, started some businesses. And last May, I got very interested in cryptocurrencies because a friend of mine was doing mining.
That's a cryptocurrency word, right?
Yep, cryptocurrency word. Mining means that you have a computer server and you are validating transactions on the network, and with the ultimate goal of putting together a block of transactions that will go on something called a blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it like your checking account ledger, right? So a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, which is the biggest one by far.
$19,000 today.
Yep, $19,000. Yeah. It's the biggest one. So the blockchain technology runs Bitcoin, and the blockchain technology is like a big, long ledger.
Okay.
And the miners validate transactions throughout the day, put them together into blocks, and then they hook one block onto the next, and then that whole string of blocks is called the blockchain, and it's that kind of historical ledger of every Bitcoin in circulation. Exactly.
All right. So a blockchain is, for example, Bitcoin's transaction history.
Yep. And it's a decentralized network.
Right.
So anybody can validate transactions on the Bitcoin blockchain. Nobody's in control of it. The miners all incentivized to do the right thing, to play by the rules of the network, because they get 12.5 Bitcoin plus some fees every time they put a new block on the blockchain. So 12.5 Bitcoin on 19,000.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Tom Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking at this moment about cryptocurrency, in particular Bitcoin. When Bitcoin was first brought out, okay, of the in the cryptocurrency language, nobody's quite sure who the founder of Bitcoin is. Is that correct?
Yep. Some fellow named Satoshi Nakamoto wrote in a paper about creating a digital currency. And with all the elements that Bitcoin and the blockchain technology have, and that was in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And Bitcoin started trading early in 2009.
But this
person
doesn't exist.
Yeah, nobody knows who he is.
Right, exactly.
Maybe it was an alias, maybe not. But he disappeared a couple of years after Bitcoin started trading.
So, wow. Lots of questions, Tom. And Bitcoin's not the only thing that's out there, right? There's a couple of other things.
Well, there's a number of
Litecoin.
Litecoin's one token. There's an Ethereum network, which trades Ether as a token. And there's lots of variations, probably five or six of Bitcoin that does different kinds of Bitcoin. But overall, I think there's over 1,500 digital currencies trading right now.
All right. So, with all of this digital currency going on out there, who's investing? I'll tell you what, my son has a fifth of a Bitcoin. I think you can buy it in parcels of
You can buy
fractions.
A fraction of the Bitcoin.
Yeah. And so he bought it like 2 years ago or something like that. And he says, yeah, I'm up to like whatever the number is. I can't recall. We were just having this conversation yesterday. So you can buy fractions of Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
But what can you do with it?
You know, that's the million-dollar question right now when it comes to Bitcoin being 19,000 a coin is, you know, what can you do other than, you know, transact Bitcoin between two people? Or because there aren't a lot of things you can buy with it. Most of the transactions that are, you know, let would say that have a lot of unique value are kind of Bitcoin developers to other Bitcoin developers or other blockchain developers. So if you're doing some coding work for somebody on the blockchain in Bitcoin or in any other coin, you probably get paid
in that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. So if you're already in the space and if you're already working there. Now, we had a story last week. It was really interesting. There was this condo in Florida that was up for sale, mm-hmm. and I think the price was 5 Bitcoin.
Yep.
But you couldn't bring cash. It had to be Bitcoin. Are there opportunities for – because this is not regulated. This is just out there. The Bitcoin is and Litecoin, they're not backed by anything necessarily. We say – well, I had this conversation just the other day with somebody. So, well, the dollar isn't backed by gold anymore. No, but it's backed by the good faith and judgment of the United States of America, which probably means something. What about this stuff?
Well, that's a great question, especially with Bitcoin at 19,000 a coin. And I've read a lot recently, a couple of academic papers just the other day on trying to value cryptocurrencies. And there's one thing that I think is interesting. It's just the network value of the Bitcoin blockchain or the Ethereum network. So let's say that there are 1 million people using Bitcoin who actually are getting value out of it, okay. Right? Not just kind of moving it back and forth. They're using it to buy a service they really want. And then there's a kind of a technology concept called Metcalfe's Law, which says each participant on the network, so let's say there's 1 million or 1,000 or whatever, the value of the total network is the number of participants squared.
Got it.
So if there were, let's say, 1 million really active Bitcoin participants that are getting value out of that network.
In other words, they are trading their Bitcoin for a service of some kind of somebody else that's in the chain.
Yes, some kind of use that they could only do on the Bitcoin network. And then you use Metcalfe's Law, then that would imply 1 million times 1 million, and that's a trillion.
That's a lot of people.
And, you know, the whole market cap of all the cryptocurrencies today is about $500 billion, so half a trillion. But, you know, there's plenty of people that would argue that that metric doesn't make any sense. But at least it's kind of a starting point to get an idea about why Bitcoin is $19,000 a coin.
There's been, as a matter of fact, we had a conversation where we had a story about this earlier today that some 51 out of 53 economists say that this is on a bubble and it's just not sustainable at this rapid pace of growth. What do you tell people that are interested in investing in this?
Well, I think that, first of all, I really think that at 19,000 a coin and up from about 10,000 a coin just in the last month or less, it's on a speculative high.
Bitcoin, you think, is. Maybe?
and the idea that or the expectation that there'll be a pullback makes complete sense because there have been some pretty big pullbacks in Bitcoin over the last 8 years. In 2003.
Well, as a matter of fact, it has fluctuated. Well, it was trading was stopped just the other day because it had fallen by more than, 1% or 10%?
More than 10%.
Yeah, more than 10%.
So there's been some pretty good pullbacks.
A lot of volatility.
I look at the blockchain technology and the whole crypto universe right now. It's kind of like, it's very much like the internet was in the middle 90s. There were so many companies that raised capital and there was a lot of hype and speculation right up to about 2000. And then, the dot-com bubble popped. And I read an article the other day about $1.8 trillion worth of value was lost from 01 to about 03 in technology and in internet companies. But, 5 or 10 years later, Google shows up, Netflix is there, Amazon explodes, you know, all the companies that we really look at is like the premier technology companies came after. So
sure.
If you would have thought in 2000, well, the internet's done, that was a bubble, the technology works, and all the investment was made in the networks and moving data around. That works.
Yeah. I remember that time so very well. We were an investor, as a matter of fact, not dollars, but advertising space and utilization in a startup from California. And they had gone a first or second round financing, had $3, $5, $8 million, I can't recall. But it was like these six folks that got together and did this thing, and they had all the money in the world, and they were all driving fancy cars and taking first class air, you know, and within 2 years, the thing was bust. And we were paid off, by the way, in all kinds of computers and other things. So it's interesting, but you're absolutely right. Somewhere down the way, maybe this does become reality, because it would make sense that you could start to trade in this way. But it's got to get – one of the things that we were talking about earlier, Tom Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about cryptocurrency. One of the things we were talking about earlier is it's got to become – the technology's got to – got to speed up, because if you're talking to I don't know, a wealthy person here in the Des Moines metro about mining Bitcoin and doing link, getting your blocks, they're going to look at you like you got a third eye, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to get some really killer apps. You're going to have to get some coins that are developed, technologies developed, so that it really draws in a lot of consumers into some technology, a use that you can only get on the blockchain.
Uh-huh.
I think that's really important. You know, without that kind of killer use, you know, it's really interesting technology, but you have to be able to do something with it.
Right, yeah.
And those companies, there are hundreds of companies working on it right now. And at least with blockchain technology, the work they do can lead to something. Unlike a lot of the dot-com stocks in that era, in the late 90s, where they would just say, you know, we're icecream.com, we're going to sell ice cream on the internet. And
people were going, here's money.
Yeah, and here's a $1 billion market cap. Yeah, so that, you know, it didn't move the ball forward. That was just hype. And with a little luck, there's less hype. But there's many of those 1,500 coins that are out there are going to be gone.
Gone, yeah. Sure.
In a few years, they'll be gone.
And your bet is what? That Bitcoin survives and some of the other ones tend to drop off?
Yeah. Even, you know, Bitcoin is going to be around. I think Ethereum is going to be around. Litecoin, Ripple. There's a number that are, I think, really sound technology and have good teams. But, you know, I would expect a big pullback at some point.
Yeah. How would one invest in all this? How do you invest in cryptocurrency?
You know, there are a couple ETFs, one called ARK Innovation. I think the symbol is ARKQ. And they have a Bitcoin chunk of holdings.
It's on the Mercantile Exchange,
yeah,
now, too.
And, you know, then there's a futures trade, but, you know, most people are not going to deal in futures. There's another company called the Bitcoin Investment Trust. The symbol is GBTC, and it is just a trust that was created to mimic the price of Bitcoin. So when mm-hmm. it gets investment dollars, it buys Bitcoin, and that's all it does.
Got it.
But, you know, at 19,000, you know, and I'm working on a couple business plans, some ideas, and, you know, getting all hyped up and ready to go right now. I'm wanting, you know, a pullback.
Yeah, so that it becomes more real, or so that it becomes more realistic, or that it becomes more affordable.
It's just it would be great that the hype and attention could last, and the price could stay at 19 or go higher. But you don't want to start a new business or talk about, you know, investing new money or doing anything new and then have the Bitcoin go from 19,000 to 10,000 in your face. So it's just
like nothing else has ever done that before, right?
Yeah, but that's not a good thing to have happen. So
when you're talking among friends and you start this conversation about mining and chains and blockchains, and do they look at you a little cross-eyed?
Yeah, my wife and son both throughout the summer. I wouldn't even mention it, because every time I mention it, my son would like come out of his chair and say, "Dad, you know, that's what that's money laundering for drug dealers and terrorists. That's who uses Bitcoin."
Well, there is some of that in question.
Well, they use U.S. dollars for that too. So.
Exactly right. But one of the things is about the regulation of all of this, and one of the points in our news piece earlier, before you walked in, was that countries are starting to look at this, going, "Okay, wait a minute now." And if countries start to regulate this, will this lose its appeal to investors and to people who are creating chains?
Well, I think the Securities and Exchange Commission, the IRS, everybody's kind of weighed in the United States right. about ICOs and raising money, and it's speculation, and it's very close to being a security under the SEC's
very close.
Laws.
Uh-huh.
But there are many other countries that are smaller economies that could see blockchain and their acceptance of blockchain being an advantage. So I think for each country that kind of comes out and says something negative, another country kind of sends positive signals. So that's, I think that's good.
And if we were to take a look now, I know the SEC has been looking at this, and everybody's trying to, the Securities and Exchange Commission is looking at this, and some other individuals within the United States government are kind of scratching their heads. What countries out there would look with favor on this? Would it be countries that don't have a whole lot of capital investment going on?
Well, in terms of Western countries that are really open, Switzerland is probably the most open.
Well, that makes sense.
For obvious
yeah.
reasons. But
you hide your Bitcoin in the Swiss bank.
Most of the European countries, I think, have seemed more open to new technology. So as far as the West goes, you know, there's tons of mining technology and mining companies in China, but then the Chinese government is kind of rattling its saber around. I think Japan is very open, South Korea very open to blockchain. So I think in terms of other countries, there's plenty that, you know, are looking at it, blockchain technology,
interesting
in a positive
stuff.
Way.
His name is Tom Myers, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about cryptocurrency. Thanks so much for coming in and doing this. On the rush, even. I really appreciate
this. No problem. It was great to be here, Michael.
All right. Tom Myers, ladies and gentlemen, a conversation about cryptocurrency. Should you be in or out? Well, figure that out. Speaking of that, we'll take a look at what happened today on the markets. That's coming up next on the Wall Street Report here on the Business News Hour.
Everyone, it's up to you.